See, in short, I was raised in an Illuminati family. You see, my family's background into the Order of the Illuminati goes all the way back to 1789. So they're one of the oldest lines in existence. Now, when I was 3 years old, I was brought to my dedication ceremony in which I was dedicated to the cause of Lucifer and the Illuminati. Now, for some people, this may sound strange, but it's really nothing unusual because if we go to various temples, churches, synagogues, what have you, you'll find that in other religions, these people will bring their children to those places and dedicate them to God, correct?
Right.
Right. And it's no different in the Order of the Illuminati, except they're dedicating their children to the cause of Lucifer. So after my dedication ceremony, for the next 10 years of my life, I was put into what is known as the outer court. Now, the outer court is best understood as the Illuminati's version of a seminary. This is where it taught all the rites, the rituals, human sacrifice, how to practice human sacrifice, high magic, low magic, astrology, alchemy, name it, that's where you taught it. So by the time I was 13 years old, at the end of a two-hour-long ceremony, I was stood before the altar. The high priest took a book that was made out of lamb's hide and put it on the altar. He was then given a quill feather, and he set that on top of the altar. And then the third thing that was passed to him was a silver knife, which in the occult language is called athame. He took that silver knife, cut my arm wide open. I had to pick up that quill feather, dip it in my own blood, and sign my new occult name in that book that's known as the Book of the Dead. Once I did that, I was initiated as a first-level illuminist, or what's known as a druid priest.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next 4 years of my life, I was going through the ranks just like everyone else, learning the ins and outs of the Illuminati, except I had a lot more to learn than most people because I had to learn at the same time almost 200 years worth of family history, Illuminati secrets. I mean, I learned things that most people in the Illuminati will never hear. So by the time I was 17, I was initiated as a master witch, or what's known as a third level witch in the Order of the Illuminati. Now, because of that and my position with my family, I was given a region. Now, a region is the governing area in which all covens obey the high priest or high priest over them. So I had more than 1,000 people under my authority on that day. Now, what was going on? This was during the late 60s, early 70s, excuse me. You see, the Order of the Illuminati at that point had been trying to get their own people sent into the military under chaplain status. But that was not going to happen, not back then. You know, this late 60s, come on, you know, Donna Reed was still in vogue at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Illuminati was going to do this anyway. So they devised a three-part attack. And this was going to involve all the military branches of the United States government. The first part of this plan called for any base, any of their people was assigned to, they were to set up a fully operative coven. The second part of this plan, you were to recruit key members of the military into those covens. So then whatever they had access to, you now had access to because they were now one of you. And the third thing that they wanted guaranteed was that all major occult religions would receive federal status and recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we were just too good at what we were doing because if you check the Army Chaplain's Handbook on Religious Requirements, the April 1978 edition, you will find listed for the very first time in all of recorded military history, major occult religions are listed, you know, like witchcraft, Satanism, so on and so forth, how they practice their high days, the instruments, their burial rites, their priestly status, all of it is in there. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as I said, I was part of that. Excuse me. Now, what was that? Back in 1976, I was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, and I was walking down the road going to the PX because I just had some supplies I had to pick up. And along the way, I ran into a colleague in the medical profession, no one I really knew well, just an acquaintance, you know. And after we talked for about 5-10 minutes, he had to go somewhere else. But before he left, he asked me what I thought was the silliest question on God's earth back then. He asked if I wanted to go to church with him on Sunday. Well, I'm not exactly going to tell you how I said it, but let's just say the answer was no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have been one of those few times when the raptors of the church really would have landed on my head. Well, to make a long story short, for the next 3 years of my life, I am not kidding, John, when I say this, no matter where I went, no matter how far I went, there was some born-again Christian just waiting to witness to me. And honestly, this is a true story. It's funny now, but back then it was a nightmare. I was walking down the road. This one white van just drove by me, and even before it stopped, the back door flew open, and some guy came out with a Bible. And so, needless to say, for those 3 years, my life was hell on earth. But eventually what happened, at the end of those 3 years, I finally understood what the Christians were saying in light of what I had been doing all along. So it was on April 15th, 1979, and I owned up to it. I was a sold-out slave of Satan. But God be praised, on that very same day, I left as a born-again child of the King.
Praise God.
And so for over 33 years now, I've been speaking out against the Illuminati, their plans for the New World Order, what they've been doing, everything you could possibly come up with. I've just been doing it for 33 years now because this is what God would have me to do.